Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 388, stanzas 1 through 4. To thee, O Lord, I humbly cry. To thee my supplication make. To thee I bring my sad complaint. To thee my bitter grief I take. 1 through 4 of Psalter 388.
Thank you. congregation the portion of God's word that we wish to read this afternoon. You can find recorded in the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians and thereof chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, but first we will read the 12 commandments, the 12 articles of our holy and undoubted Catholic Church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonishment of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, which fear and tremble in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychicus, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal God, thou who dwellest in the heavens and we upon thy footstool, thou who holdest the seven stars in thy right hand, and who walketh amidst the seven golden candlesticks, thou who rulest over all thy church, who sendest forth thy servants, and who bringest forth the dead into a new life, that they may live forever and not die. Thou who hast all power in thy hand, and thou who art able to give unto each and every one of us that which we cannot give unto ourselves, we beseech thee, upon thy holy day, set aside for thy service, which we can no longer give unto thee. O, we beseech thee, for the exertion of thy power in the midst of us also. O, that thou may remember us, and we are traveling upon a journey to meet thee, and we must stand each one of us at the judgment seat of God. We have heard it in these moments out of thy holy word, that there is with thee no respect of persons, that we must each answer for what thou hast given unto us in our life. And we must give an account of all thy blessings, and of the responsibilities that thou hast laid upon us. Lord, it is a pilgrim journey, that is not a journey, and that is of a single day. Oh, how we must hasten for the sake of our life, that we may begin upon that journey, and that we may be given to enter through that straight gate and walk upon that narrow way. So many lessons that need to be learned by a heartfelt experience. The only way that we can know is by the instruction of thy Holy Spirit. And then from step to step, go upon that journey, O Lord, and then we beseech thee. And we have come in thy house. It is thy own holy day. It is thy own everlasting word. It is thy own ordinances. It is thy own testimony. It is for the sake of thy own great and holy name. It is for the upbuilding of thy own church. It is to the glory of all thy attributes. Oh, thou canst do it for thy name's sake, Lord. And when thou art not able to do it for our sakes, oh, we beseech thee then, that we may know something of that power of thy Holy Spirit even in this very afternoon hour, that thou wouldst come, and that thou would show that thou still walkest also amongst us, and that thou goest from heart to heart, from pew to pew, and that thou takest this one and that one as we are going upon our way in this life, and to say unto us so far and no further, and that we would not be permitted to work out our eternal destruction. Lord, thou knowest how that we are born and conceived in sin, so that there is not one that turns his heart unto thee. And then in all the preaching, in all the hearing of thy holy word, and then there is no turning, and there is no mourning, and there is no setting our heart to thy fear. Oh, it all must begin with thee, Lord. And therefore we also begin by calling upon thy holy name. Oh, in thee is our expectation, as we have sung together. Oh, then we lay before thee our sad complaint. It is a complaint about ourselves. Oh, then we have no ability in ourselves, and we have no willingness in ourselves. In ourselves there is but a desire after all that is sinful and evil, and that even after received grace, oh, everything that must be received by a free and a sovereign grace from thee. Lord, we beseech thee then, and thou who only art able to do it, that thou wouldst give us an eye to see thy power, and that we may look unto thee, and that our hearts may look for a blessing from thy right hand. Thou whose work it is to open the eyes of the blind, and to deliver the prisoner from the prison, and those that sit in darkness from the prison house. Oh, that thou would do it in the midst of us, that many may be converted unto thee, both young and old, that thy children also may receive instruction. Oh, did not thy servant not say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Oh, Lord, thy leading is what is necessary in the life of thy children. Oh, thou art able to bring them to rest in the fat pastures of thy free and sovereign grace. But when thou dost hide thy face, then all is a mystery unto them. Oh, Lord, that thou may remember those who are standing so afar off, those who have no ability to just take it and believe it. Lord, thou knowest where that they are, the many fears, the many concerns. Lord, that thou thyself would deliver them, that thou would open unto them that free and sovereign grace, and wilt thou invite them so freely to say unto them, he that is athirst, let him come, and let him take of the waters of life freely. Oh, that their eyes may go open to that blessed finished work that thou hast accomplished upon that tree. Oh, then their eyes shall see that there is nothing more to be required, and that it all may be received so freely out of thy hand. Lord, in thy name does receive all the honor. Thy children, they do receive the blessing. The meek do eat, and they are satisfied. Oh, that it may be experienced more and more also in the midst of us, that thou would show thyself in the days in which we are living to us and our dear children. Oh, that in the darkness wherein we dwell, a little light from heaven may be given to shine, and that thou, who art able to open the windows of heaven and to pour us out a blessing. Oh, thou sayest, prove me now herewith. Oh, that we may be given so to do. Look upon all the afflicted and needy. Thou knowest also all the trials and cares that are in this life. Then we cannot do without thee. Wilt thou give that all that are afflicted and all that are sick may cast their eye also upon thee to beseech thee for help from the sanctuary, and that thou thyself would visit when a man is lying in his loneliness, as we have also sung together. That all the trials that are in this life may lead a man back unto his Maker and unto his Creator. Do show unto us that we live in the land of the dying, so that we go each one to our long home, and that our life that is here but in hand breath, that it is but a vapor that comes and quickly disappears. Teach us not to call our lands after our own name, and not to expect this dwelling here below to last forever. Show unto us the shortness of our life, the certainty of our death, the significance of carrying a never-dying soul within our tabernacles, and that we may be given to bow our knees, both young and old. Give us together a secret chamber, Lord, a place where we may lay the needs of time and eternity before thee. Break the hardness of our hearts. Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and that nether millstone that is within, that we cannot break on our own side. That can be in one moment made into a heart of flesh, a contrite spirit, and a broken heart which thou wilt not despise. That thou may give the tears of the souls to flow. Lord, that thou may remember those that are old. Remember those that are ailing. Remember those who have difficulties of the mind or of the body. Those that have needs of families. Thou knowest all the cares in this world, the consequences of the sin that are upon us, the many miseries, the many tears, the many sorrows. That thou would give what is necessary to bear up under them, and that thou may strengthen all those that come to the help of those that are needy. Wilt thou be with all those that rule and reign over us? Lord, thou knowest the great nations in which we live. Could it please thee, when we have turned our back so evidently upon thee, and we have said unto thee that we have no desire for the knowledge of thy ways, and we have besought thee that thou wouldst pour upon us thy judgments. We beseech thee, Lord of heaven and of earth, that thou may look upon us yet in thy mercy, to turn us again, and to go forward with what is necessary to bring us on our knees before thee, else we shall destroy ourselves so very soon. Put away the devices of Satan, wherein he desires and works to bring our nations to a great ruin, that thou may cause the enemy to be ashamed. Lord, that thou may look upon all those that bring thy word, to Jew and Gentile in this world, our theological school, those that instruct and those that are instructed therein, and the meeting which will be held in very soon. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may be working in the hearts of young men. Could it please thee to call forth those who have no strength and no ability in themselves? Could it please thee to thrust forth into thy vineyard those in whom it is thy good pleasure to use as a little instrument in thy holy fingers for the bringing in of thy 144,000 that thou thyself may give, that a man may find in himself less and less, and may find in thee everything, and that there may be in a call from thee that is going forth in great strength and power, and that it is not necessary that a man have anything from his own side, and because thy strength that is made perfect in weakness, wilt thou grant it to be experienced. Lord, that thou may look upon all those that are in the prisons, all those that suffer innocently, and all those who are guilty. Wilt thou grant true repentance? Wilt thou grant a patience from above? And wilt thou supply for everyone that is needy, all those that are handicapped, all those that are invalids in the midst of this world? Remember parents, strengthen in the duties that are assigned unto them by thee. Give to children that blessed heartfelt obedience to their mother and their father. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Oh, that thou may give that tender fear to live within in the days of their youth. Remember our school, all those that must instruct therein from day to day. Oh, give that tender fear within, and that may be evident in their example and in their walk and in their conversation, and that it may be also to the drawing of our children. And wilt thou give faithfulness to fathers and to mothers? And wilt thou instruct in all thy truth? Remember all the congregations where there are vacancies. Help thou elders and deacons, all the consistories, all those that labor within the churches. Wilt thou give a little encouragement in the days in which we are living, and that there may be seen a little fruit upon the labors, a little concern, a little weeping, oh, a little turning again, and that men could not walk anymore in the past ways, and that they may turn again unto thee. Oh, that we may be given that gladness in our hearts, to observe it also here in the midst of our own flock. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, amongst young and old, to take us by heart and by hand. Remember us in this afternoon hour, and that thou may stand on our left and on our right hand. Oh, that thou wouldst fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Give to us clarity. Give to us wisdom. Give to us simplicity. Give the children also and the young people ears to hear, hearts to understand. Give a great measure of thy Holy Spirit to stir the waters of the pool, and could it please thee to receive all the honor and all the glory therefrom. Forgive all that is amiss within and without, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 355, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall ne'er be overthrown. Like Zion's city bounded by guarding mountains broad, his people are surrounded forever by their God. We announce that the following persons have been examined by the consistory and wish to make public confession of faith: Joshua Busicum, Megan Busicum, Rosaline Janssen, Cornell Oscom, Pamela Van Driesten, Celia Vandenberg, and Shane Vandenberg. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by Tuesday, April the 7th. The Lord willing, confession of faith will take place on the morning service of Sunday, April the 12th. The last collection today is for the building fund, and the books have arrived for the catechism class students. These will be available on Friday evening, the Lord willing, after the service in the basement of the church. 355, all stanzas. congregation. David in Psalm 130 says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with him there is mercy, and with him there is plenteous redemption." What is that? Redemption. That is to be ransomed. That is to be delivered. With him is plenteous redemption. Redemption, deliverance from what? Well, we read, "And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Or do we need also to be delivered from all our iniquities? David says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Did you ever say that, children? "Lord, I have hid my word in thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That is, that sin that has become to David an enemy, that he has desired that he may be rid of that sin. But who needs to be delivered? Who needs to be ransomed? Those are they that are not able to deliver themselves. They are they for whom that enemy is too strong, that they cannot deliver themselves from that enemy. David, he says, "Lord, lead me into the land of uprightness." What a pleasant land is the land of uprightness. Do you believe that? That is the substance of heaven, where no sin shall enter in anymore. Do we desire that? We wish to consider something of this with you this afternoon out of Lord's Day 52. Only the first question. Lord's Day 52, question 127. Which is the sixth petition? Answer: "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. So far, our Lord's Day, which is a petition for preservation from sin. And we see in the first place the necessity of this preservation in the first part of this answer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us. Thus, the necessity of this preservation. Second, the provider of this preservation. Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes. And last, the duration of this preservation in the last part, till at last we obtain a complete victory. Thus, a petition for the preservation from sin. First, the necessity of this preservation. Second, the provider of this preservation. And third, the duration of this preservation. Lead us not into temptation. What is temptation? That is an enticement. An enticement into sin. Where does that come from? We know that Satan is the great tempter. Had it not been for the temptation of Satan of our first parents, there had been no fall into sin. And why not? Because God had created man very good. And there was in man no inclination. Thus there was nothing in himself that inclined or leaned toward that desired to commit sin. It has now become so very different. Because even without the instigation of the devil, man, he is falling into sin. James speaks of it when he says that it is our own lust which is enticed. So that after the fall, instead of there being nothing that is inclined toward sin, there is now nothing that is inclined toward the Lord. David, he says, I am conceived and I am born in sin. Thus, the temptations, they are coming in the presentation of that forbidden object, that sinful object, unto a heart that is corrupt. Thus, there are two things that must meet in the commission of sin. That is the desire and the opportunity. Young people, children, we may ask the Lord if He would but take away the opportunity, and in this way prevent us from falling into sin. But even more, that the Lord, though there be opportunity, that the Lord would take out of our heart the desire itself and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, that is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. Is that also your experience? That you cannot stand a moment? What does that mean, children? To stand say, to stand or to fall. What do our fathers speak of? Well, they speak about a warfare. They speak about a soldier who is in a battle. And that soldier, he is either standing yet in that battle, he is still fighting in that battle, or he has succumbed to the enemy. He has been wounded. He has fallen. He has been slain by that enemy. So our fathers, they speak about standing. Standing yet as a warrior in that warfare. Or are you still standing in that warfare? Congregation, have we even entered? Have we even become a warrior in that warfare? Because by nature we are not. By nature we are not part of the church militant. By nature we do not fight against sin. Say, my conscience bothers me. And when my conscience bothers me, then, I try not to sin. Yes, that is so with every man in this world. And why is it? Because that bothering of my conscience, that speaking of my conscience, is not even in itself a very comfortable thing. No, when it does not permit me to sleep so easy in the night. And then added to this are all the consequences, the awful consequences of sin. And so a man, he is attempting in such a little way in this world that he may not receive, that those consequences may not be brought upon him. But do you know what is missing? He has no hatred for sin. Sin has never become his true enemy. It has never become truly an evil unto him. Thus, he has never actually entered into that spiritual warfare. And now grace is teaching a man something different. Last time, then we heard that petition that Christ taught his disciples, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, how free is that forgiveness of sin, so that there is nothing left for that people anymore. And now there are those, they say, that makes men careless and profane. That free grace makes them careless. Then a man, He will just go on in his sin when he knows that it is all forgiven freely from the Lord anyway. That gives him actually permission to sin. Is that so? How is the Lord Jesus continuing? After he instructs his disciples to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thus, that is that militancy, that is that church that has become a warring church, not only for the sake of the consequences, but deliver us, he says, from that evil. And why the supplication? Why the prayer? Who is that man that needs to be delivered. That is that man that is not able to deliver himself because he is instructed in his weakness. His weakness in that warfare. Do you know that weakness? Our fathers, they say that we cannot stand one moment. We are so weak in ourselves. Is that reality? Is that the experience also in our life? Or do we not even know whether we can stand or not? Because we have never entered into that warfare. Who are the enemies? We hear that there are three. That is the devil, the world, and our own flesh. The devil, he is a spirit. Thus that enemy, he is a spiritual enemy. The world, that is carnal. Thus we have in the second place a carnal enemy. And my own flesh that is within me. Thus we have in the third place an internal enemy. Three enemies. Spiritual, carnal, and internal. Within my own flesh. Fearful, is it not? Because those three enemies, they are all in league with one another. They are all joined to one another. They are all working together, cooperating with one another. And as our fathers write, that those enemies, they do not cease to assault us. So that there is hardly a moment in the life of God's children that those enemies, when they are sleeping and when they are awake, those enemies, they are assaulting them. They are called by our fathers mortal enemies. And why? Because they are seeking their mortality. Because they are seeking the very destruction of the church. They are seeking to bring that church to its ruin. Oh, the devil knows so very well what the wages of sin are. Do you know what they are, children? The wages of sin. That is death. And therefore, if the devil only can bring us to sin, then he can bring us into death. And so he is also attempting it with God's church. Oh, is that possible? To bring God's church into death? No. That is not possible. Because otherwise, the death of Christ, that would be made of none effect. But that is not possible, because that death of Christ, that will be effectual to the end. What does Paul say? He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But that does not mean that faith can always receive it. As God's people, it needs to be revealed, it needs to be applied, it needs to be renewed, it needs to be brought into exercise time and time again. And not only so, but it is by their falls that church is bringing chastisements upon themselves, that they bring themselves into captivity. Into a place where they cannot deliver themselves. So that the Lord, he is hiding his face, Solomon says, standing behind our wall. There the enemy is mocking. There the enemy says, sing us now one of the songs of Zion. But there that church, they cannot sing. And the devil says, you shall die there. And it shall be in the end your own fault. Lead us not into temptation. Is temptation itself sin? It is not. It cannot be, because Christ himself was tempted of the devil. But in his heart, there was absolutely nothing that was even inclined to obey the suggestions of the devil. But in our heart, it is so different. Because of that evil inclination after in our first parents that we have made him our choice. Thus, the very inclination of our heart toward it, the very thought, the very suggestion, the very taste of the sweetness of that sin that is already bringing guilt, Rome says no. But Solomon says the thought of foolishness, that is sin. Thus, even when we are kept from the deed, or when our heart that has taken the smallest delight in the thought of the commission of that sin, we have already brought so much pollution upon ourselves. No, Satan does not force us. He cannot force us, because our will in that sense is free. Then we must make that choice ourselves. The world also does not force us. It cannot force us. Does it, young people? Does the world force you? Say no. No, that world does not force me. Satan and the world, they do not need to force us. And why do they not need to force us? Because of the league. Because that third enemy, my own flesh, that is dwelling within me. Oh, do you ever feel it? Is that now ever a burden to your own soul? How does a soldier learn his weakness? He learns his weakness. He may not know that before he goes to battle. Then he has thoughts, and he is attempting to make himself so very strong. When he will set out, then he is looking to have the victory. Where does he learn his weakness? When he gets in to tangle with that enemy. That is when he is in the very midst of that battle with that enemy. Oh, there he learns the power, the might, the strength of that enemy. Have we learned it too? How strong that sin is within our own breast. We read of the sons of Reuben and of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh, and when they were in the battle with those Hagarites, that they cried unto the Lord in the battle, and that their voice was lifted up. They besought the Lord that the Lord would help them. Why? That they would not be overcome. And they felt the weakness in that battle. Oh, do you also cry when you are in the midst of that battle? And when we know that that sin that is drawing that flesh, and we understand so very well the sinfulness, But does our heart then, is it lifted up unto the Lord to say, Lord, help me. Lord, take away from me this opportunity. Lord, take away from me this desire. Why? Because He is, in our second thought, the provider of that preservation. Do Thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare. But I thought it was not possible for God's people that they would be overcome in that spiritual warfare. It is not possible. It is not possible, finally. It is not possible that they should fall away under it. But it is possible temporarily. Grace does not teach a man to be an antinomian. Grace does not teach a man to desire to live without the law. Even when the curse of the law may be taken away for God's children, but even when that curse is taken away, and then when that grace is in exercise, then there is a desire that they may live a holy life. That is the fruit of grace. How can it be otherwise? What is salvation? Is that not deliverance? And deliverance from what? Is it not deliverance from sin? It is not just the consequences. It is not only deliverance from hell. It is not only deliverance from punishment. It is not only deliverance from separation. No, but it is deliverance from sin itself. That is the enemy. So it cannot be right in our life when that sin has not become our enemy. And when a man, he will say, let us do evil that good may come. And when a man may speak about the free forgiveness of sin and still have no battle, no warfare in his heart with sin as the greatest enemy. No, it is a cry. It is a desire. It is a longing that they may be delivered from sin. That is from the commission of sin. Do Thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of Thy Holy Spirit. That is the cry, congregation, of a poor man. That is a cry of a man who is not able to deliver himself. That is the cry of a man who needs the Lord. He needs the Lord in that warfare. Why? Because of those continual assaults, people of the Lord. The continual assaults by that triple-headed enemy, by Satan, by this world, by the love of the world, or by that enemy that is living within their own flesh. That is a cry unto God in the way of what? In the way of sanctification. Do Thou preserve and strengthen us. Why? Because we cannot stand. Because we are so, so weak that we cannot stand even one moment. That is a cry to God, the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that Holy Spirit, He is stronger than we are. And not only stronger than we are, but He is stronger than that enemy is. because he is able to mitigate the power of that temptation. And he is able, if it may be his will, even to take that temptation completely away. Oh, that is the cry that is in the midst of that battle. In that moment, when that soul does experience the weakness in that battle, and when they feel that that sin is going to overcome them, and when they feel and when they fear that they are being overtaken by that sin, that is a cry to God against their own sinful flesh, the sinful desires that are mounting up within their own soul, that the Lord would take away their strength, that the Lord would take away their power. Oh, that is a cry to God against the carnal reasonings of their mind that would make an excuse for them to walk in the ways of sin. And they're fighting against the pious desires of that new life, whose treasure is in heaven and not here upon the earth. Oh, that is the cry to God. Oh, lead me not into temptation. That is the cry of that pilgrim as he must go through that Vanity Fair that says, oh, Lord, help me. Lord, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. O Lord, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. O Lord, that I may do according to thy word. Turn my eyes away from vanity. Lead me, Lord, not into temptation, but deliver me from that evil. O congregation, are we strangers? Are we complete strangers of that cry, of that battle in the midst of that way of sanctification in the life of God's church? When does that begin? That begins, boys and girls, we said this morning, when the Lord will give you a new heart, then you will feel something of that love. Do you remember that? We hope you try to take home with you something. You say, the Lord will give you to feel something of love. And when the Lord will give you a new heart, then the Lord also will make sin to be hateful to you. That life of sanctification that begins also in that moment of that new birth. But boys and girls, it is not finished so quickly. No, the life of sanctification, all that is continuing throughout the life of God's children. How long does that stay that they have to fight that battle against sin? We will sing first 188, 1, 2, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 188.
Thank you.
Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we shall obtain a complete victory. A complete victory. What does that mean? It means that there is to be experienced here below by God's people only a partial victory. Even if God's children, they may be given by the Lord to attain unto the highest steps of grace, they have attained only yet a partial victory. If God's children may be brought to know something of that free and perfect forgiveness, or that they may be given to know something of that justification, even within the court of their own conscience, if they may be given to know and to experience something of that blessed adoption of children, they have yet only obtained a partial victory. In justification, that curse, that punishment, that is completely taken away. We heard it. As far as the east is from the west, so far hast he removed our transgressions from us. And yet, it is only a partial victory. Why? Because when a man goes out of the prison, and when he is declared acquitted by a judge, then that is not changing him in his person, but it is only changing his relationship to the law. Thus, it is still only a partial victory. Because then they need not only a victory in justification, but they need another victory, and that is that complete washing from all the pollution and from all the corruption that is living in their heart. And how long must they wait for this? Well, they must wait for this until that battle is all done, and that church militant, and that is become that church triumphant. That is now the complete victory. And until that complete victory, that people, they must daily complain with the Apostle Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Thus there is by faith, by moments, a waiting and a desiring that for that complete victory. But they have to experience still, "So weak in myself that I am not able to stand for one moment." And that is now the reason that the Lord Jesus is teaching his own people, his own disciples, to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That is, young people, not the self-sufficient Christendom of our day. Do you hear it? The Bible that teaches us something so very, very different. Because we read there that the Lord says, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in that name of the Lord. Oh, that church militant, that is to the last day of their life, they have to experience that they have no strength in themselves, but everything that has to come from above. That church triumphant, do you know what they are going to sing? They are going to sing, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. But congregation, if we will ever sing it, as the church triumphant, having all sin and all pollution put away forever and forever, then you may be so certain, if we will ever join that church triumphant in their victory song, that we will have had to have joined that church militant here below. Because we do not enter there, but we enter here. Oh, have you ever entered now that warfare? Then we need to ask ourselves this day, if sin has ever become our enemy, or what do we think about temptation? Did we ever learn by experience the strength of that enemy? Did we ever learn something of our own weakness that we are unable to stand for one moment? Because Paul, we heard it, says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Does a man then find strength against that spiritual wickedness within himself when that very enemy is living within his own heart? It is impossible. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, whither I go, ye cannot follow me now. But Peter, he thought to follow him anyway, but he could not stand before a maid. Young people, we live in a world that is so full of temptations. That is, as never before in this world, Satan, he has more experience than ever before. For 6,000 years, he has been doing the same thing. Oh, do you ever find yourself so weak that you cannot stand a moment? Satan seeks, young people, your soul. He seeks your soul in all the allurements of this world. He seeks your soul also even in the religions that are in this world. How will you ever come through that battle? Oh, that love. We heard a little this morning, that love. Ask the Lord for that love. Because when the Lord is planting that love, then we see sin is against him. And then that sin that becomes in and of itself is so very, very sinful. And then a man, he must learn this petition in his life. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. No, we do not even need to learn it only in our mind that is good, parents, and that we instruct it unto our children. But we need to learn it in our life. We need to be given to cry this petition in the midst of the battle. Oh, may you do that. Because James, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh, do you resist the devil, young people? You say, how can I resist the devil? Do I have strength to resist the devil? Oh, if the devil would hear you cry to the Lord, then he will flee away. Oh, I hope you will experience it. Do not trust in your own strength. When you get up in the morning, to think that you can live without sin in that day. Oh, the Lord gave you to feel, to experience, that you are so weak that you cannot stand for one moment, and that you cannot go near unto temptation. Solomon, he says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. That is, lead us not into temptation. That is not a prayer by which a man is on the offense, that he can go toward that enemy. No, that is a prayer by which the man, he is on the defense. He says, Lord, lead me not into it. That is, Lord, lead me away from it, because I have no strength against it. Joseph fled out of that house of Potiphar as quickly as he could. Find yourself a partner, young people. Find yourself a partner under the truth that may be in help to you in that battle. And do not play with fire in your dating. And leave off your worldly friends, and leave off that bottle, and leave off with all the wicked pictures and all the movies that are in this world. And do not go. Do not go to any place that you cannot before bow your knees and honestly before the Lord of heaven and earth pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. You say, I have to live in this world. That is right. You have to live in this world. So sometimes it is impossible. But Daniel did too. And where did he go? Oh, then he went upon his knees 3 times a day. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, cause us to enter that warfare, because when we enter it not here below, we will never sing that song of victory over that triple-headed enemy. Encourage thy people in it. So lazy, so slothful so often. O Lord, wilt thou make them to arise and to put on the whole armor of God? And wilt thou look upon us in the week to come? And wilt thou bring us together upon that day wherein we hope to commemorate together the death of thy dear Son? Or that it may be significant for us, that we may need thee, Lord, that we may need that payment, and that we may be brought up to thy house with longings, with desires, and with supplication for thy servant, for opening in thy word, and that it may have a free course. Wilt thou help each one in the circumstances of this life? And wilt thou forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake? Amen. 31, 2, 4, and 7. With steadfast courage I design no wrong to speak or do. Thy path of life I choose for mine, and walk with purpose true. For help, O God, I cry to thee, assured that thou wilt answer me. 1, 2, 4, and 7 of Psalter 31. Blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.